5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, joining us now, he is the striker for the Columbus Crew, and he has been scoring goals by the boatload. No surprise here. He is Kai Kamara. He joins us now. Kai, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you again, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Now, this has been an unbelievable season for you. You know, the goal must look pretty big to you at times this year. What's kind of going on with Kai Kamara here producing the amount of goals that you've produced in Major League Soccer?
It's a good year for me, and I have to thank my teammates for that, and you know, I'm on a really good team. But you know, again, I have to say that I'm part of a good team here in Columbus, and I'm at the prime of my career. You know, I've learned a lot from a lot of coaches. I've played under Ziggy Schmid, Dominic Kinnear, Frank Yallop, going out to England, and, you know, college coaches and all that. And actually, a lot of things are coming out now, and I'm seeing the game a lot better now. So, and I'm playing, you know, I'm playing around some good players, such as, you know, Ethan Finley, all the assists that he's given me this whole year. I didn't think I would have had a year like that if I didn't have a player like that along my side.
Yeah, you said seeing the game.
I think when you're on the field, you're unstoppable. There's so much you want to do. And, you know, you never really watch your games and never really try to criticize what you did wrong. And all you see is stuff that you do right. And now being more mature, you know, you kind of, you soak it in, and you know that the game looks a lot different from outside than it is inside. So when you have people are along your side telling you stuff that you could do better and they show you on video, you know, being around Joshua Wolf over here, who's our, you know, offensive striker coach, really, he sees all these things and puts it out on video and put me down and talk to me about them. It makes things a lot easier, and, you know, I soak it in a lot better than I used to when I was younger, or even say my Houston days.
You know, I like hearing you mention Josh Wolf. Obviously, all those great coaches you mentioned as well. But Josh Wolf, I always thought just his movement, his mobility was just something special in Major League Soccer. Very exciting. Is that something he's helped you with, movement, mobility?
Yes, a lot, really, you know, into my position and where I need to be when, you know, when players all the way to the back, when our back has the ball, you know, where I need to position myself because, you know, after 2-3 passes, where the pass is going to end up. So that's something that he's really done with me. And, you know, even when I came into the team right about this time last year, just watching how the team plays and everything. And, you know, and this year he's been great. He's been really great at it to really, you know, teach me about that and saying, you know, I mean, you do have some athleticism. That's what he didn't have playing. But at the same time, you know, the knowledge that he does have, and, you know, I respect him a lot. You know, I used to play with him back in Kansas City days, early Kansas City days. So, and to see all these things now that he's putting in front of me, and it looks, you know, so much easier on video. And, you know, then you go on the field and you do one or two of them and it actually works. And you start thinking, well, you know, maybe I should listen some more. And these things are really working out.
He's Kai Kamara of the Columbus Crew. 22 goals right now, topping Major League Soccer. Right behind him with 21 is Sebastian Giovinco. Robbie Keane was 17. David Villa was 17. And then Chris Wondolowski was 16. You know, I look at this group of goal scorers here, And they're all unique in their own way. I just think it's fascinating to see the differing goal scorers and the guys that are fighting for this goal scoring title. What would it mean to you to be the number one goal scorer in Major League Soccer, Kai?
It'll be great. It'll be great, really. You know, I've been in this league for numbers of years now, and that's a really good group of guys to be around and really, really battling against to try to win this golden boot. And, you know, one guy, I mean, there's really big names in there, but one guy that, you know, I'm really honored to be named next to, I have to say, it's Chris Wondolowski. You know, I've been around Wando for a while, you know, played in same Division II, you know, level of college. Back in the days, he played, you know, for Chico, I played for Dominguez Hills, and, you know, coming to the Dynamo and him being there and just being around him and, you know, just to see everything that he's done playing national team and achieved. I'm really proud of him, and just to say that at the same time, you know, I'm in the same category. You know, we're talking about Golden Boot here, and he's still around there, and I'm competing with some of these guys. And you know, I'm really, really honored, and I can't, you know, it's a close race. It's really a close race, and you know, hopefully, I can get a couple more goals before the end of the season, and really, if I can finish with the top of the league, then it'll be amazing.
You know, Kai, I thought that was wonderful, the way there, just the professional respect for another pro. And I would imagine you and Chris, because you guys had to fight through a lot of things to get to the top of your profession, didn't you?
Yes. It wasn't easy. I mean, like I said again, coming from Division II schools to come into the league and to go through, you know, different teams, Wando had it. In a harder way than I did. You know, he was in Houston for many years and not seeing the field a lot more than maybe I did in my earlier career. And so he learned a lot from those guys being in Houston and moving to San Jose and really excelling, you know, World Cup and all these things that he's done. So I look at somebody like him and, you know, and I really wanted to be up there. You know, he's scoring over 100 goals in this league. I mean, all that's just achievements that, you know, I keep pushing myself, and it's here today to say I play for Columbus Crew, but at the same time, when I talk to my college coaches, it's, you know, Wondolowski did this for Chico State, so you better do well for Cal State Dominguez Hills. So it's still a little bit of that battle. I text him here and there, and we talk about those things, but it's been a great journey, and you know, I'm just blessed to be here.
I think you're one of the more entertaining guys in the league, too. I love the relationship you have with fans and how you engage them. I think, personally, you're helping grow the sport that way with your personality. And I think you make it fun. And isn't it sometimes this game's got to be fun? And we got to make sure that we remind ourselves it's not all about war and peace. Soccer's a fun game.
Yeah, it definitely has to be. I mean, it's an entertaining sport. You know, we're entertainers at the end of the day. And for me, when I connect with the fans, I'm at my best. And it's the joy of the game. I mean, the fans make the game. You know, the fans, if there wasn't no fans, I mean, the game won't exist, because, you know, you won't want to play in an empty stadium. So when you can really connect with the fans and have a really good relationship, which that's, you know, social media, it's really, really good nowadays, because fans can message you and ask you questions and you can get back to them. And the connection with them, when you can know a fan, know him by his name, or when you see somebody on TV and say, or you're watching the game and then you see some fans, oh, I recognize those guys. You know, I look at the Houston games and I look at the supporters group, and I'm like, yeah, I still recognize some of those people out there in the supporter group. And that's what's good about it. So when I can connect with the fans, to me, that's, you know, I'm playing at my best, and I want to, you know, have fun with them at the same time.
Kai, was it tough for you when you got moved from Houston to Kansas City? Because I remember you didn't like the move initially.
No.
Could sense that, you know, you didn't want to leave. Was that tough? Was that a tough time?
Yeah, it was really tough. And I have to be honest, I did shed some tears when I was leaving, you know, because I thought I was doing really good for Houston. And I thought I'd actually found a place where I'm playing well, I'm scoring goals, because I started in Columbus and I only had 3 goals 1 year, 2 goals the next year. I went to San Jose and I think I was on 3 goals before the trade to Houston. And I got to Houston and then, I mean, things were going well and I was playing well and we're playing CONCACAF and I'm enjoying it, playing next to, again, Brian Chang, and I'm learning from him as a striker. And at the same time, and having having Dominic Kinnear over there. I mean, it was amazing. You know, I'm learning from all these guys and everything that they're teaching me, and it was great. And I felt like this was it. You know, I'm finally starting to play the game. I'm starting to understand the game a lot more, and I'm enjoying it. I mean, in a championship like atmosphere, you know, because some of those guys that were there, it was, you know, Wade Barrett, Craig Weibel, and all those, Dwayne De Rosario. I mean, these are guys that won championships. So I was feeling really good to be in that locker room until, you know, when the news came to me, that was a shock that I was moving. And that was definitely one of the trades I was really, really shocked about. And I did not want to leave at all. I even said, no, I'm not going to Kansas City. I'll go back to LA and just be home. I don't want to move.
And Kansas City ended up being quite the move, didn't it?
yeah, actually it did. The Kansas City ended up being good. It was really good. It was a different environment, and we helped build something over there, from, you know, Kansas City Wizards to Sporting Kansas City, to the new stadium, to the atmosphere, to the first of the Cup, winning the Open Cup, and all of that. So it was amazing. I built my career again. I just kept getting better, and you know, I have a lot of people to thank for that. So it's been good.
He's Kai Kamara, Columbus Crew, leading Major League Soccer in goals scored. When you went to Kansas City, I remember there was something pretty funny you did on social media. You organized a snowball fight. Tell me about that.
Yes, I did. Again, connecting with the fans is kind of the thing I love doing. And when I first came to America, I tossed snow in Maryland. I lived in Maryland for a little bit, not too long. So other than that, I had never been in a place where it really snowed. So when I was in Kansas City and it started snowing the one day, and there was a lot of snow, and I said to people, I just tweeted, I was like, wow, this is so much snow. I've never, you know, actually had a snowball fight. And then somebody else replies, like, maybe we should do it. And I don't know, it was like 20 minutes or an hour later, we said, okay, let's meet here and have a snowball fight. So, and people showed up. And it was my first year there. People showed up. We had a nice, fun snowball fight and sleigh and all this thing that I'd never done before, you know, growing up in Africa and coming to America. And, you know, I wasn't a kid anymore. I wouldn't think I'll be able to do these things. So we did that. And after that, I treated everyone that was there to a nice Chipotle meal. So it was a really good start for me in Kansas City.
All right. So my burning question is this. I know you're great with your feet. Do you have a good arm? Did you do well in that snowball fight? Did you pick anybody off?
No, I did not. I think I was standing there trying to give a speech, and everybody had snowballs hidden behind their back. I had no idea. And everybody just surprised me with a nice little throw. No, I'm not that good. I'm a volleyball player, though, so maybe that that's better with my hands than throwing a snowball.
All right, let's quickly talk about Sierra Leone, and you know, you've kind of temporarily retired from the national team. Tell me what's going on there, because I've had many discussions with Chris Bondi, who obviously has represented Liberia, and it's not easy representing your countries with all the travel and logistics, and then the backing of federations sometimes are not where it really should be.
Yeah, it's a tough decision for me, really, and it's something that's, you know, been coming out for the past 3 years being on the national team. It's been really tough. We're trying really, really hard as players to put Sierra Leone on the map, because Sierra Leone has, you know, gone through a lot with the civil war, with Ebola and everything, and you know, we're working really hard. But as you said, in Africa, it's really difficult because, you know, the federations don't usually all work together with the players, and those are things we've been battling with for so long. And, you know, for 3 years now, I've been, you know, thinking about it. If, you know, if it's the right choice for me to, you know, keep playing and keep traveling all these places we're traveling to, how long it's taking us to travel to get to games, and really not having a best chance to do something well when it comes to playing. You know, we're traveling so much and we don't have enough time to train and we just play games. But as players, we've done well and really represent Sierra Leone really well. We went from being 129th, I think it was, in the world, to 50th in the world without playing any friendly matches. And, you know, we're hoping for a change. We're hoping for a change, and that change is still not coming. And I'm making all these sacrifices to go out there and represent my country, a country I love, a country I want to represent, you know,
what is it,
the best way that I could.
What does it mean to you when you're standing in front of those fans, you know, and you're hearing your national anthem, and just describe one of those moments to me?
Yeah, it's really touching. It's really, really touching. Again, growing up in America for the amount of years I've been here for, you know, I'm American at the same time, and, you know, I respect everything, you know, in America, and I go back to Sierra Leone or go back with the national team and stand there for my national anthem, and it's really special, you know, that I grew up there and my older brothers played soccer, but none of them played for the national team. So every time I'm standing on that field and the national anthem is going on, those are the things that goes through my mind and opening my eyes and looking at the stadiums and seeing everybody, you know, Sierra Leoneans cheering you on. It's really special. So that's why it's really sad for me to say, you know, I have to take a break because things are just not going, you know, things are not going well. It's not just this year. It's been 8 years I've been part of the national team.
So it's a bit of a statement too, right? Because I'm getting the sense it's a bit of a statement.
Yes, I hope so. I hope it's something that helps change something out there. And, you know, I'm not doing it to hurt anyone. And people probably would think, oh, he's doing it because, you know, he's top goal scorer in the MLS. But, you know, that's not really it. It's, again, it's been something that's been going on for the past, you know, 2-3 years in all the games I've played. And right now it's just the best time for me. I just had a baby 4 months old, and I want to spend more time with my family too than, you know, taking all these trips that's not benefiting, you know, me or the national team in any way.
Well, Kai, listen, as always, we thank you so much. You and the Columbus crew in fourth place right now in the Eastern Conference. You and Ethan Finley, who's got 13 assists. I mean, what a partnership you guys have developed. Keep up the great work. We always are so happy to have you on the program. It's always insightful. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks again for having me.
All right. He's the one and only Kai Kamara. We'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5. Much, much more to come here tonight. It is the Best in Soccer Talk.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're privileged now to get in the U.S. center back, Matt Beisler, joining us now ahead of what we all know is the huge match against Mexico this coming Saturday. Matt, thank you very much for coming on the program.
You're very welcome.
Well, let's start it off with just switching from your club Sporting Kansas City to getting back into national team camp and kind of what has to happen mentally over the next couple of days for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there's a different group of guys, you know, with your club and with your country. So there's always a little bit of a transition that you have to go through. The good thing about it is you've had lots of practice doing it. You know, this isn't something new to any of the guys. We've all been here before, and we've all, you know, made the adjustments before. So we'll continue to do the same thing that we've been doing.
Who do you think goes into this match, or does it even matter what has happened prior in prior matches going into a Mexico U.S. game? Now that you've had a lot of experience with these,
To be honest, I don't know. You know, if the past will play much of a role, if any, especially. Since it's just this is a one game playoff. You know, anybody that's played professionally knows in a one game playoff anything can happen. So I think you've got to be ready for whatever they throw at you. And sometimes games like these, it doesn't happen like you think it might or like you draw it up. But you have to be prepared and you have to be ready. And at the end of the day, you just have to leave everything you have on the field because, like I said, there's nothing after this game that really matters. It's really all about this game.
This is as pressure-filled as it gets. Are you feeling the pressure sort of around this game, the healthy pressure of this now? And then how do you manage that, Matt? Because, you know, there's so much at stake here from nationalistic pride to obviously the importance of getting to the Confederation Cup with all the emphasis put on that by Jurgen Klinsmann and U.S. Soccer.
Yeah, I mean, I to answer your question, no, I'm not feeling the pressure right now. I'd have to answer that here in a couple days once the game gets closer. I'm sure everybody's going to be going to start feeling it a little bit more and be a little bit nervy. But I think that you would expect that going into a game this big. I do think that everybody on our team is fully aware of what's at stake and the importance of this match. At the same time, I think in order to be effective, you have to be focused and almost have tunnel vision and not really worry about what's going on the outside and what people are saying and how many people are watching and how many people are at the Rose Bowl. And you just have to prepare like you would any other game, and you have to have the confidence that that's going to be enough.
He's Matt Beisler, U.S. center back, joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You know, I know on games that I've called that you've been involved with, and it's been a number of them, that I know a lot of times what comes out is the composure that you have as a center back. You're somebody that's very under control despite all the intensity of things that are flying around you. Is that something you've always had? Did you have to work to get that and sort of learn how to be composed under pressure?
Yeah, that's a good question. I appreciate that compliment for sure. It's not really something that I've ever thought about. So I guess that part comes naturally. I really just go out there and try and play my game. I do think that having somebody in the back, that is composed, I think is an important part for the team. Because I think, things start happening very fast, especially in a pressure game when there's a lot of people in the stadium. And I think both offensively and defensively, it can help. Obviously, defensively, when you're composed, you're able to think a little bit, faster and be able to make hopefully the right decisions. But even with the ball, I think if you can be composed and sort of calm your team down to start the attack, I think that's beneficial as well.
Matt, when you go into these games and you come from Major League Soccer to international soccer, and of course Mexico and their great technical ability on the ball, are things just happening so much faster? Does the brain have to work so much faster?
I think, at the international level, yes, you do, because you can be punished for any mistake, whether it's big or small. You can have a great, great match as an individual and as a team for 85 minutes. And then if you lose focus for 30 seconds or 1 second or however long, and all of a sudden you open up a window for the other team, they have the quality to take advantage of that. And then all of a sudden you make a mistake and all your work that you put in for however long, it goes down the drain. And so, I think that's probably, one of the biggest takeaways, playing at an international level, especially against Mexico, is that you have to be tuned in for the entire game, because at any given moment, they can beat you.
He's Matt Beisler. You know him from Sporting Kansas City in Major League Soccer and the U.S. men's national team in action this Saturday against Mexico. It's the CONCACAF Cup. The winner will go to the Confederations Cup. Let's talk about some of the suspects that you're going to be having to deal with now. And I look at the stable of strikers for Mexico, and there's very differing strikers here, from an Uribe Peralta to, the movement of a Javier Hernandez to the technical ability of a Gio De Santos. So let's maybe take Javier Hernandez. How difficult is it to play against a guy like that who's constantly on the move, very mobile, and trying to get off the blind side of center backs?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but I think most of the guys embrace it, because I think a guy like that whose movement is so good, it brings out the best of you. And in order to defend him properly, you have to be concentrated at all times, and you have to have one of your better games. So I think that's just something that should excite you going into a game like this.
Yeah, the challenge is, and I'm not trying to you know, drum roll these guys, but they're all very good players, very differing. Uribe Peralta is a differing striker as well, right? A little bit more of a target type guy?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think, you know, recently I've, you know, any time that Mexico's been on and I've had a chance to watch them, I think the main thing for me that stands out is they've been playing with two guys, two strikers, you know, working off of each other. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, I think the popular thing right now to do is to kind of play that one guy up top, maybe with two wingers. Mm-hmm. But I think with Mexico is, you know, it's almost similar to Houston, you know, where you guys are at. It's, you know, for so long they've played two strikers up top, and it's just a different challenge because you always know that there's going to be somebody around you, and those two guys, whoever it is from Mexico, you're going to expect them to work very, very hard and work with each other.
He's Matt Beisler joining us here ahead of the United States and Mexico. You know, how much of that do you do? Because that's really interesting that you brought that up. And with the availability of games now on television, the internet, how much do you look at an Uribe Peralta, a Carlos Vela, the guys that you could potentially be spending a lot of time marking in and around a penalty area, to kind of just look at their tendencies, their habits? Do you do a lot of that work?
Yeah, we do. We do. Especially in a situation like this when we're all just coming from different places and different clubs, and we all play in different leagues. And so we come in and we really only have a week to prepare. So we have a lot of meetings that go on throughout the day leading up to the game. And, you know, we'll have team meetings to go over Mexico's, you know, shape in general. Then we'll have positional meetings to talk about, you know, their group of forwards, and then we'll have individual meetings as well. The great thing is that there's always someone available for you. If you need to see a guy another time, or if you know, need to get comfortable watching film, and nowadays they can just send it over on your iPad. So the technology definitely works in our favor.
How about your manager, Jurgen Klinsmann, who's come out and said, we're going to win this game? Does that give you confidence as a player that in the press he has come out and said that?
I mean, I think you have to have that mentality. You know, I don't think that he was making that statement. You know, I don't think he meant anything other than we have the confidence that we feel like we're going to win the game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. You know, I think we should have the confidence because we've done it before. The other way you can look at it is I'm sure Mexico is in their camp, and I'm sure they're going to say the same thing, and I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. I think that's what's so great about this rivalry is that, you know, both countries have had success against each other. And, you know, we've had some battles just back and forth, over so many years. And, you know, it's going to be an honor and a privilege if I get the chance to play in another chapter of this game.
Yeah, and that's interesting you just said that, because I was just going to lead you into the rarefied air of being a part of this great rivalry that's got so much history, that's got so much emotion and passion in it. Do you get to absorb that during a week and then playing this game? Do you get to absorb it, or does it go by in a flash? I mean, can you really dig in and feel it?
Yeah, well, you know, it all builds up. You know, the game's not until Saturday, so you know it's not like you wanna feel everything today on Monday or tomorrow on Tuesday. You want to gradually build up into it because it is a long week, and like I said, there's just so many different things going on the outside that if you get too caught up in it, you're probably not going to play your best, and so. I think we'll just try and have the right balance. You know, this is just it's a very special opportunity, and it's a big game to play in. So I think, you know, we want to acknowledge that and we want to enjoy the experience. But at the same time, we want to stay focused and not let all these different things distract us.
What are some of the rituals that you go through to maintain that clarity and not get caught up in all this and really keep yourself relaxed as you get up to the big moment?
Yeah, I mean, I do my best to try not to pay attention to kind of what's going on in the media. But sometimes that can be difficult with social media these days.
But I think the biggest thing for me is I try and stay relaxed. I try and, the day of the game, I'll try and loosen up my legs, go for a walk, get out of the hotel. Most guys listen to music on the way to the game, helps relax them, get their mind off of things. But once the game starts, I think everything pretty much goes out of your head and you're pretty much just focused on the game.
Well, listen, Matt, we really appreciate you taking the time out this week. I know it's a heavy week for you when you just spoke about media, and we really appreciate you coming on the program, and my listeners I do know as well, and we wish you the best of luck against Mexico.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, that's the one and only Matt Beisler, Sporting Kansas City and Major League Soccer, U.S. International center back, joining us tonight here. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. A lot more to go here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a special moment here from U.S. national team camp now. Jeff Cameron joining us. Jeff, obviously, Stoke City, U.S. international, and he joins us now. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
We always appreciate it, and I know those here in Houston, Texas, are going to appreciate hearing from you today as well. Any opening thoughts ahead of what is a rarefied air-type match against Mexico this coming Saturday?
No, I'm just excited to get back with the national team and get back to the States and get to be out here in LA, enjoy some sunshine and get ready to play in a massive game against Mexico, obviously. And I'm just happy to be a part of the group.
All right, so talking about this game, it's obviously a game you don't want to get too excited about too fast, and you've had all kinds of experience with this now, playing in the hustle and bustle and the pressure of the Premier League. How does your week go for you sort of emotionally and then thinking game as you get closer and closer to it?
Yeah, I think it's just, you learn to just kind of distract your mind a little bit. And, obviously your main focus throughout the week is the game that you're playing Saturday. But at the same time, you don't try to stress yourself out or worry. The best thing you can do is prepare yourself mentally. And that's just relaxing and being confident in your own ability and making sure that, you're ready to put 110% effort in on a Saturday.
Now, you've had a run of games at center back with Stoke. Is this where you feel, obviously you feel most comfortable here. Is this where you wanted to land as a center back?
Yeah, I feel great playing center half with at Stoke. I played a few games center defensive midfield as well during the Capital One Cup, and with possibility of when Ryan Shawcross comes back, I might move into the defensive midfield role or something like that. But as of right now, I'm happy and I feel like I'm playing well at center half and getting a lot of reps there, so I feel confident. Anywhere in the center of the pitch or where the team needs me. Usually, I'm a team player and. I just want to win and help the team out as best I can. And obviously playing and being on the field is the most important thing. And if I can do that playing right back or left back or defensive midfield or center half, I'm happy to do that.
You guys must be feeling a sense of relief now that you're starting to get some results at Stoke as well, right?
Yeah, we haven't had a bad first part of the season. We've actually played really well. It's just there's times the where the luck didn't go our way. We got two red cards against West Brom at home and dominating the game. And then you go two men down and you're still creating chances. And then you go away, you get a point against Tottenham, get a point against Norwich, teams that, are doing well. And then, you lose to Arsenal, where we didn't play well at all. But then you lose, to Liverpool at home on an 87th or 88th minute goal from Coutinho, which was an absolute, wonder goal. It was an amazing goal. But we played well, and we had some great opportunities, but things were just kind of falling short. And we didn't get frustrated. We just kept doing what we've been doing. And I think, this past weekend we put a full 90-minute shift in and, and everybody worked well one other, and we got a clean sheet, and we got 3 points. So we'll be back up to where we belong in no time, I think, if we keep playing the way we've been playing.
Anything that has surprised you this year with Stoke outside of the results? Any players that have really sort of come out of nowhere to make a real impact for you? Any surprises this year in the Premier League with you and Stoke?
I wouldn't say any surprises. I think we all believe in the guys that are in the locker room. You look around and the ability that guys have. And, you know, the biggest thing is we got Bojan back, who's a huge player for us, a key player for us, you know, creative-wise and offensively. He does, you know, he makes teams put a close eye on him because he can change a game within a matter of minutes and seconds. So having him back and his confidence starting to build after, you know, a few, I think the last couple games he's had a few run-ins. So good to have him back. And then, you know, we have the addition of Yasu, who came from Germany, but, you know, a product from Real Madrid. Then you have Afellay, who's a Barcelona product as well. And then you have, you know, we signed Shaqiri, and then you have Glenn Johnson. I think we have a lot of good players, and you can look around and everybody's pushing each other every single day for a position. And obviously when there's, you know, competition, it just makes us, you know, better in that aspect. And everybody's, you know, everybody supports each other because, you know, the minutes are going to come with injuries, this and that. Everybody's going to get their fair share and their time. It's just a matter of what you do when you get it.
Swansea up next for you guys. You got a big road win at Aston Villa. We all know that winning games on the road in the Premier League is so difficult. That one had to be just a wonderful game to get a win.
Yeah. It was, I mean, because we knew, you know, Aston Villa were struggling a little bit. And, you know, both teams were trying to pick up points. And we knew if we didn't pick up any points this weekend, or at least a point, it would be, you know, kind of a devastating blow, because we think three games unbeaten, you know, with the tie at home, then the win versus Fulham, and then the win this past weekend. So we're on a bit of a run, and we want to keep it that way. And we know that, you know, our kind of Achilles heel this season has been the second half of games. And for some reason, we'll be up, and then all of a sudden, we stopped doing what we were doing the first half that made us so successful. And, you know, we kind of pack it in a little bit. We stop pressuring the ball, and that's when it allows teams to get into the game a little bit and to make their mark. And that's when we've conceded goals, because it all starts from, you know, us pressuring the ball and missed tackles and all that. And it's led to us giving up goals and not winning games, finishing all games. But this past weekend, we put a full 90-minute shift in, even when they were throwing guys in the box in the last 5 or 10 minutes. We still held strong, and it just showed that we're on the right path.
He's Stoke City center back, U.S. international, Jeff Cameron joining us here. Stoke currently 14th. Do you take any sort of pride and possibility out of what Crystal Palace and Leicester are doing right now in fourth and fifth in the table and some of the results they've been getting? It's pretty inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. You look at the fact that, you know, Chelsea's has been struggling to win games, and it's funny, the teams that you think would be losing are winning, and the teams that are, you know, you think that are supposed to be winning every single game are losing. So it's just gonna make the run this year that much more exciting and harder, you know, much more difficult, because teams like Crystal Palace, Leicester, that are kind of around, I would say the mid-table range, they're up at the top part of the table, and they're going to be putting likes of, you know, pressure on Arsenal and Chelsea and Liverpool and, you know, the top half that are usually up there. They're going to be putting pressure on them. And the same with us. We want to get back to where we belong, and that's in the top 10. And we want to finish higher than we did last year and maybe fight for Europa League, and that's our goal. But it's going to take time, and you got to win the teams. You got to beat the teams that are around you and teams that are above you. So we know it's difficult, and we tied Leicester when we should have won. So it just shows the resilience that those teams have, and they have confidence, and they're starting the season off really, really well.
Big switch of gears for you, because, you know, you go one weekend playing Aston Villa, and now you go into the international setup against Mexico, a very different playing style than from what you see in the Premier League. what is it that jumps out about Mexico, their playing style, to you, Jeff Cameron?
I wouldn't say it's massively different. I mean, if you look at a team like you play against, like Arsenal, or a team that just likes to pass the ball small, quick, short passes that are quick, shifty, that's a Mexican team. You know, they're very good individually, technically. They can dribble you, but they like the toca-toca, the quick, small touches, and, you know, they're a good team. But I think if we can go there, you know, Saturday at home and show our physical dominance and make it difficult and pressure them and make it very uncomfortable for them to play and get them out of their rhythm, I think we'll be successful. And I think that's a good thing that we have the U.S. national team, you guys that are playing all over, they have all different styles, but we come together, we know what we have to do.
Isn't that generally the blueprint always, though, Jeff, is just to get them out of their rhythm and not allow them a lot of time and space to pick their head up and play the game and really kind of just break that rhythm that they get?
Yeah, and then that allows us to dictate the pace of the game when we're doing that. And, you know, and that's when you see the shift in games. And, you know, when one team is dominating the game possession-wise, then all of a sudden you see the other team breaking it in. It's because they're pressuring them a little bit more. They're making it harder for them to play, and they're getting the other team out of their comfort zone. And when you do that, that's when the other team kind of starts getting the rhythm and starts dictating the pace. So if you can do that from the first minute on, and you can do that for 90 minutes, that's and that's the difference. We see the teams like Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. Those are the teams that do it from the first minute, and we need to do that Saturday night.
Jeff, talk about the importance of the shield in midfield and what goes on in front of you and sort of that connection with a deeper lying holding midfielder and somebody that helps become a bit of a shield for you as a center back.
Yeah, that's a huge important. Huge importance for center backs and the back four, because they're our main pivot. They are what we kind of base our line on. If they're not putting pressure in the midfield, we have to drop our line back, because that allows guys to run through. And if we're keeping a line high, that means it's easier for those guys to run in behind if there's no pressure. But if there's pressure in the ball, we can squeeze up higher, and it creates the distance for the midfield, much less. So they're easy to pick out and step and take the pace out of the game, you could say. And it allows us to, when we get on the ball, boom, we skip one or two lines and we're starting the attack. So, you know, whoever's in there defensively, it's their goal is to kind of screen the pockets, because you got guys like the Mexican national team, they kind of come in behind the defensive midfield and in front of the center backs, and they find those pockets, or they're finding, you know, space behind the left or right back. And that's where guys, if they have time, they can pick those passes. But if we have enough pressure on the ball and, you know, our lines are all tight and, you know, our team defensively, our shape is good, it will be very difficult for them to kind of pick those passes through the middle and use the space on the out wide.
He's U.S. International Jeff Cameron, ahead of the U.S.-Mexico this weekend. A wonderful opportunity for us to get Jeff on the program here talking this game. Stable of strikers for Mexico, a lot of differing strikers. Uribe Peralta has sort of his tendencies. You got the movement mobility of Javier Hernandez, the technique of Gio De Santos and Vela, who can all create chances for themselves. It's very differing types of strikers that you could potentially go up against. Do you do a lot of homework? And I asked Matt Beasler the same question. Do you do a lot of homework watching these guys on your own just to kind of pick out their tendencies and some of their habits?
Yeah, I would say we have video meetings and meetings throughout the week of kind of players that we'll be going up against, and we'll see tendencies and we'll see the movements that they like to do, habits and all that. But then sometimes you see that, and then they play different with the national team, or they play, you know, a different position. So it's kind of what the coaches kind of give us and what they advise, and we kind of break it down from that perspective. But yeah, we do our homework as much as we can, but every game is different. But you can pick up tendencies. You can pick up, you know, certain habits that players do, certain runs they prefer making, if they like to do the near post or the far post, or they kind of drift off the center back's, you know, backhand shoulder, or, you know, they give like little nudges here and there. You kind of pick that up in a video session. So it does help you.
Jeff, I know the listeners are going to love you answering this one. Who's the toughest striker you've gone up against in the Premier League?
Oof.
It's hard to pick one, but because each and every week it's a challenge. But is there one in specific that you kind of feel is just a tougher matchup for you? You may not want to admit that on the air.
I wouldn't say tough. I would say, you guys like a guy like Silva, Aguero, you know, when I played against him and Percy, his movement, his strength on the ball, you know, those guys are just, you know, top quality players. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a few because, I mean, every game you play, there's always, you know, some world-class player on the pitch and you kind of have to be prepared. But guys like Aguero, I mean, he proved it this past weekend, scoring 5 goals. And then you got Van Persie, who, you know, his pedigree when he's at, you know, Man United, faced against him a bunch of times, and you know his strength is clever. How clever he is! You know, when you think you're a defender and you think you're going to win the ball, he takes just the slightest touch that's just enough far away from you where you can't, you know, get it, but allows him to release a shot or turn you in a way you're just like, how did you do that? You know, and those are the players that are different caliber players.
Now, I saw you do some very good TV work on NBC as an analyst. How was that? Did does that kind of help you look at the game a little bit differently going in there and watching it from the perspective of somebody who's got to analyze it?
Yeah, I would definitely say your job is very, very difficult. You know, especially commentating. I give you full credit. You know, I grew up listening to you, Glenn, and doing a bunch of our games when I was in Houston. And it does. It gives you a completely different perspective, and you're seeing it from a different view. And where on the field, you're in that moment, and you're reading all these different things, but you don't have the view that the analyst has or the announcer has. So it definitely makes you think and observe the game in a different perspective. And I think it's only going to help me understand the game better because, I mean, you're still learning the game now. I'm still learning every single day to improve and to get better, to read the game. And I think that's only going to help.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a great. I would say commentating was the hardest thing for me. And I preferred the analyst part in the studio. And I was with a great group of guys. You know, Arlo White, he's fantastic. He made me feel very, very comfortable when I did the commentating. But, you know, you have Lee Dixon that I've worked with, Gary Lineker, Graham Lasso, and it was a great group of guys. So you learn from them, and they made me feel very, very comfortable, and I had a great time doing it. So hopefully there'll be more to come.
Yeah, you know, you just reminded me of something that we always in the television booth have this wonderful place where we can really see what's going on spatially from up above. And, you know, managers are sitting at field level on the bench. And, I mean, we have a far better perspective than the managers. As far as location, you know, where you're watching the game from.
Yeah, you see some coaches, they go up higher in the stands so they can see, they get a better perspective. So.
What's important against Mexico, Jeff, this weekend for you guys? What's most important when this whistle blows, this game starts? What's most important for you guys?
For us to set the rhythm and to start off right on top of them. You know, you can't give them any confidence in the beginning of the game, we have to come out firing. We have to come out pumped up and physically, mentally. You know, ready to put a 90-minute battle in.
Jeff, last question before I let you go. And again, we really, really appreciate your time, all of us, and including I'm going to speak on behalf of my listeners here as well. Now that everybody has gotten to know Jeff Cameron, Stoke City, U.S. International, do you get a lot of guys asking you about Major League Soccer and what the experience was like and what the playing style is like and what the league is like? Do you get a lot of other guys over there in the Premier League?
It's definitely growing. I think it's definitely appealing to a lot of players. But I think it's also, I think now the MLS have to watch, you know, what players are coming over. Are they coming over for the right reasons? You know, obviously, you get the sunshine. And, I mean, the U.S. is one of the best places to play for weather-wise and everything, you know, lifestyle and all that. But there are guys that are like, hey, I want to go over there when I retire. And I'm like, hey, listen, it's not a retirement league. Or, you know, some guys are saying, hey, I would love to go over there right now. I mean, you see every single year a lot of Premier League teams going over there because they know that they give tough games and, you know, they get teams ready because they're, you know, physically the MLS teams are fit, they're strong, and the talent is getting better and better every year. Since my first year when I was in the MLS to now, you watch it, it's night and day, and it's only improving and it's only getting better. So I think it's definitely appealing, and I think it's on the right track of definitely challenging other leagues. And I would say the biggest thing is just, you know, player rights, and that's a whole different issue. But, you know, if they want to follow the rest of the leagues with, you know, and with FIFA and FIFA rules and all that kind of stuff and transfers and all that, that will come sooner or later, and it will start competing with other leagues.
Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the program. We wish you the best of luck against Mexico. Keep up the good work with Stoke, and thanks again. It's great hearing your voice.
Always a pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
All right, that'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, the soccer fans, for listening, and thank you for contributing to this show tonight. Quick word again for the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7, the Houston personal injury attorneys. Handle personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents to medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents down to boat and car. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. And my thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. With the Daspit Law Firm, you're going to rest more assured in times of stress that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm at 713-364-0915 or toll-free, both in English and Spanish, 888-273-1045. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And, of course, Instagram, it's Glenn Davis Soccer. For Conrad, for David Philpott, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.